Welcome to Books and Beyond with your hosts, Karen and Louisa. Join us for half an hour of information, entertainment, reading recommendations, and beyond. Brought to you by Auckland Libraries.
I know this girl, and she works in a library, yeah.
Kia ora, everyone. Kia ora, Louisa.
Kia ora, Karen.
It's National Poetry Day weekend. National Poetry Day being the last Friday in August. It's not often pointed out, you know, Louisa, that people are always looking for ways to comment on how New Zealand punches above its weight in the world. And it's not often pointed out that poetry is one of the major ways that New Zealand really punches above its weight. With a huge amount of talent from all around the Pacific concentrated here, and also, I think, a really supportive and generous community grown up around it. So we have New Zealand poets appearing in literary festivals around the world and in Auckland, participating in important cultural events like the Worldwide Reading for Lu Xiaobo that we did at Central Library, a thriving poetry performance and slam poetry scene, the incredible New Zealand Electronic Poetry Center, NZEPC, based at the University of Auckland, the electronic gateway to poetry resources in Aotearoa and the Pacific. And we have New Zealand publishers, larger and smaller, putting out amazing collections, Anahera Press, Beatnik Publishing, Victoria University Press, and AUP, Auckland University Press, to name some of our favorites.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a wow, isn't it?
Impressive list.
Very impressive. AUP is the publisher of three collections I'm going to call seminal, as they contain CDs of the poets performing their works. And in fact, the series is called Poets in Performance. We have classic New Zealand poets in performance, contemporary New Zealand poets in performance, and new New Zealand poets in performance. And we are going to make use of these beautiful books to take you beyond the book today and into the performance of some of our favorite works. Are you ready, Louisa?
I am. I'm really looking forward to this show, Karen. It's not just the sort of breadth and depth of the New Zealand poetry scene, but also the our own flavour that we've produced here.
That's right.
In, you know, little old New Zealand down at the bottom of the world. But like our music, isn't it?
That yeah, we have a, and our art. That piece that I read by Julian Dashbour about New Zealand being so far away and how that's actually served to create an original culture. Absolutely.
Yeah. And the rest of the world is starting to take notice. So very proud and really, really looking forward to this show with the poets reciting their own works.
Yes, and for my first pick, I'm going to go ahead. I should have said, may I have the first pick, Louisa? May I?
You're leading the way, Karen, today.
So for my first pick, I'm going with Michelle Leggett. Michelle Leggett is my first poet laureate in the sense that she was poet laureate when I became aware that New Zealand had a poet laureate. And you know, the first time is always special. Actually, I know Michelle is special even to people who knew that she wasn't the first poet laureate, and that's for her huge talent and also for her incredible generosity and ingenuity in finding ways to support New Zealand poetry and poets in every way, shape, and kind. I have the honor of having been videoed reciting lines from a beautiful poem Michelle wrote and about Dante and the Santa Trinita Bridge in Florence. She was had been at a conference, I think it was a poetry conference, I'm assuming, in Italy, and she'd written this beautiful poem, and it was National Poetry Day a couple years later in New Zealand, and I recited this poem and had my daughter video me and beamed the video, very Books and Beyond, back to the gathering at Central City Library. Michelle and many others were reading that night their poetry.
Wow, I'm sorry I missed that.
You did miss that, but I didn't do it as well as Michelle would have, and so now you can actually hear.
You better for location, though, didn't you?
Yes, I did better for location, but definitely less on performance. So here's Michelle performing her beautiful poem, or actually the first half, because we don't have all that much time, having only half an hour, of Cairo Vessel. So it's Cairo Vessel Part 1.
Cairo Vessel 1. Girl. Night and day, you are the one. I lie awake till dawn, dreaming only you beneath the moon and under the sun. You make my heart into a drumbeat stretched over the morning sky. I hear your voice and I'm gone, all of me and forever, fast post. I know how to pick you up if you'll just let me kneel down. Nobody else in my heart but you, nobody in yours but me. I want you like fat and honey. You are fine linen on the bodies of the grandees, white raiment on the bodies of the gods. You're incense at the nostril of always, oils from the lip of as if. You are the finger putting on my seal ring, and he who turns it at will. You are mandrakes in the hand of God, a date cake dipped in honey, lilies set by bread. Love comes tripping up and down the river all the days of our lives. Love is a steamboat ticket to anywhere you want to go. We'll be together, day in, day out. I'll give you kisses. If we have to be old, let's laugh like candied hippos up to our ears in mud. My God, my lotus, my blue water lily riding with the north wind across the lake of myrrh. Gentle your fingers in my hair, your sweet breath behind my ear. Blossoms float past us, we're part of a galaxy that whirls. I want to put on sheer linen and go down to the river to bathe, walking a little ahead, knowing you're picking up the vapor trail. I'm your spice girl. I make everything all right. Come on, follow me to the pool with its fringe of reeds. I'll go down into the water with you. I'll come out with a red carp wriggling on my fingers for you. Here it is, my warrior of the beautiful weapons. Look at it and look at me, looking at you. We should kiss. Boy. Little sister, you're on the far bank and the river swirls between us. It's pulling me into the floodwaters and a crocodile grins on the sandbank. I wade right into the torrent. I'm thinking about you so close, so far. The crocodile's just a handbag. I zip him up and walk on those waters like a miracle man. Your hot love makes this possible. Your water spell is irresistible. I see the darling of my heart waiting far away, so close. I can't take my eyes off you. Now we're together. My heart bangs. I open my arms and you walk right in. My heart is happy. Can't you feel it jump like a fish in a lotus pool? The night goes on and on since you came to save me, sweetheart. When I get you close, your beautiful arms go around me like a princess fresh from punt. You're all missy plant and fragrant pomades bundled up just for me. I kiss your lips open, drunk on your intoxicating mouth. Tell me you're having a good time, goddess. Tell me the drug works in your heart depths too, as we think about a room for the night. I asked the temple girls for advice. They said, if she's your queen, set fine linen around her body, lay on scented white sheets and a whole forest of moth orchids. You are my queen, and your limbs are sails that take us to this, drenched in the oils of love.
Oh, that's lovely.
Isn't it?
Journeying back from the Nile to our part of the world, the Pacific. Here is a poem from 2004 by Tusiata Avia. Not a poet laureate, but not yet, but I'd certainly like to nominate her on the strength of this poem, Wild Dogs Under My Skirt.
I'll second that.
Enjoy.
Wild Dogs Under My Skirt. I want to tattoo my legs. Not blue or green, but black. I want to sit opposite the tofunga and know he means me pain. I want him to bring out his chisel and hammer and strike my thighs, the whole circumference of them, like walking right round the world, like paddling across the whole Pacific in a log, knowing that once you've pushed off, loaded the dogs on board, there's no looking back now, bingo. I want my legs as sharp as dog's teeth, Wild dogs, wild Samoan dogs, the mangy kind that bites strangers. I want my legs like octopus, black octopus that catch rats and eat them. I even want my legs like centipedes, the black ones that sting and swell for weeks. And when it's done, I want the tulfunga to sit back and know they're not his. They never were. I want to frighten my lovers. Let them sit across from me and whistle through their teeth.
Fantastic choice, Louisa. I'm going to take us on another leap now, this one more temporal. I'm going to take us back to Janet Frame. So this book was actually published in 2006, the book where I found this poem, which is called The Goose Bath, a collection of Janet Frame poets. But they're actually, the book contains poems that were found from years and years before that Janet had kept in her house. So I don't know if you know, I didn't know, Janet Frame was a geese keeper, a sort of a modern goose girl. So, yes, she used to keep geese using the base of an old garden fountain as their bath. In later years, the geese went, but the bath was brought indoors, I'm reading from the cover of the book, you might be able to guess, as a receptacle into which Janet piled her jottings as she reworked and developed her poems. Over time, the bath overflowed with paper, including hundreds of unpublished poems. By the time Janet died, she had named her hoped-for but elusive new selection, The Goose Bath.
Wow. Yeah. So from a goose bath to a literary, what do you call it?
A literary fountain, we can call it a literary fountain. So not just a bath, a fountain, triple layer. And so anyway, I've picked a poem from this and it's called The Icicles.
Every morning I congratulate the icicles on their civility. I think they have courage, backbone. Their hard hearts will never give way. Then around 10 or 10:30, hearing the steady falling of drops of water, I look up at the eaves. I see the enactment to the same old winter story. The icicles weeping away their inborn tears, and if they only knew it, their identity.
Great. Thank you, Janet.
Yeah.
It actually reminds me of the photos you sent back from your holiday down in Wanaka.
Yeah, the hoarfrost. Yeah, it's really true. Janet country, as they say. Yeah. Janet right. Company and country.
Right. I'm moving on now. I've got Bill Manhire, the inaugural poet laureate, New Zealand's, poet laureate. Back in 1997, he was awarded New Zealand's inaugural poet laureate, as I've said already, by Tamata Estate Winery, who established the award modelled on the British version. So hence, during the two-year period, every poet laureate has received a supply of Tamata Estate wines.
Oh.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I guess to lubricate the creative juices, because one of the conditions of being a poet laureate is they must publish a collection of poems. So Bill gave us What to Call Your Child. But today, we are bringing you a song about the moon. Enjoy.
A song about the moon. The moon lives by damaging the ocean. The moon lives in its nest of feathers. The moon lives in its nest of clamps. The moon lives by aching for marriage. The moon is dead. It has nothing to live for. The bodies are dangerous. You should not touch them. The bodies resemble our own, they belong together. The bodies are weapons, someone will die of them. The bodies will not lack for wings, someone will find them. The bodies are maimed, but you will not remember. Do you still suffer terribly? Do you always speak French? Do you stare at the moon, for you cannot forget it? Do you long to be emptied of nothing but feathers? Do you want to go on like this almost forever? You must abandon everything after all. You must abandon nothing, at least not yet. You must abandon hilarity. You must abandon your flags. You must abandon your pain. It is someone else's. You must abandon poetry, for you cannot forget it. You must abandon poetry. It never existed. You must abandon poetry. It has always been fatal. It is like the moon. It is like your body. It is like the ocean. It is like your face.
It is like your smile that you're wearing now, Louisa. I'm proud of your pick.
Thank you, Karen.
And you do rightly to be proud. My next choice is Cilla McQueen. So Cilla is another poet laureate and another reader from one of our National Poetry Day celebrations at Central Library. And the poem that she read was Living Here. And, you know, Louisa, it just blew me away. It dived into my heart. And her reading, of course, is very much a part of this. And aren't we lucky she's in Contemporary New Zealand Poets in Performance reading us
Living Here. Well, you'd have to remember this place is just one big city with 3 million people with a little flock of sheep each. So we're all sort of shepherds. Little human centres each within an outer circle of sheep around us, like a ring of covered wagons. We all know we'll probably be safe when the Indians finally come down from the hills. Comfortable to live in the safest place in the world. Sheep being very thick and made of wool and leather being a very effective shield, as ancient soldiers would agree. And you can also sit on them, of course, and wear them and eat them. So, after all, we are lucky to have these sheep in abundance. They might have been hedgehogs. Then we'd all be used to hedgehogs and clothed in prickles rather than fluff. And the little sheep would come out sometimes at night under the moon, and we'd leave them saucers of milk and feel sad seeing them squashed on the road. Well, anyway, here we are, with all this cushioning in the biggest city in the world, its suburbs strung out in a long line, and the civic centre at the bottom of Cook Street. Some of them hill suburbs and some flat suburbs, and some more prosperous than others. Some with a climate that embarrasses them and a tendency to grow strange small fruit. Some temperate and leafy, whose hot streets lull. So here we are again, in the biggest, safest city in the world, all strung out over 1,500 miles one way and a little bit the other, each in his woolly protection. So sometimes it's difficult to see out the eyes, let alone call to each other. Which is the reason for the loneliness some of us feel and for our particular relations with the landscape that we trample or stroke with our toes or eat or lick tenderly or pull apart and love like an old familiar lover who fits us curve to curve and hate because it knows us and knows our weakness. We're calling fiercely to each other through the muffled spaces, grateful for any wrist brush, cut of mind or touch of music, lightning in the intimate weather of the soul.
Fantastic, Karen. Is that it? The Kiwi of Kiwi poems?
Yeah.
I especially liked the bit about the hedgehog. That really took me back to a childhood memory.
That was my moment too. I think it was the saucers of milk for the hedgehogs.
Yeah, yeah. My sister was such a collector of stray animals, and yes, we had several hedgehogs with saucers of milk inside around the house. So, anyway, so moving on, Karen. We now have Vincent O'Sullivan, Poet Laureate from 2013 to 2015, and like so many of our poets, his writing talents stretch way beyond this literary form. He's written short stories, novels, playwrights. He's a critic, editor, I think for The Listener. He worked for The Listener. And a lecturer. So we have selected for you today Seeing You Asked, which it seems to me is a reflects his busyness and his form as a writer, was vast form.
Prolific, if I could turn it into a noun, which I can't. Prolixity? Let's give it a go.
Yes, enjoy.
Seeing You Asked. There's a dozen things I might tell you. There's a Chinese poem to begin with of a woman folding curtains as she leaves a man forever. There is a Roman writing from the edge of ice fields, a vista of dull silver beyond clicking reeds, to a woman who watches a blue smoking mountain in almost unbearable heat. There are wartime movies with sad bridges across mourning rivers, the woman pressing the two wings of her collar together as a train draws out. There's the story as well of a woman driving north towards a lake that was once fire, a house by the lake, a life inside the house, where today's love becomes another fiction you open when the room is empty. put down when you hear voices. Stand up, smiling, at life where it happens. There is no ending to certain stories. The plot has no desperate turns. The vase on the bedside table burns with azaleas, whatever happens. But love, we say, love, there are corners on the stairways. There are fragments in each hour. When the notes drift back, the one scarcely heard. Just as the lake is always beside you, spreading out and out. You say you swim, you read, you fish. There is something like the glint of a hook. There is something, love, in that shimmering vault, trolling too fast to speak of.
Excellent choice, Louisa.
Thank you, Karen.
And just to show that Louisa and I are not sitting here doing one of those little totting up of our gender proportions here, I'm going to follow a man with a man. Not us. We're spontaneous and beyond. So I'm bringing in now a great man, the esteemed writer Albert Wendt. In our Pacifica broadcast, you may remember, you affectionate listeners out there, I read some verses from The Adventures of Vela, one of his books, and I lamented not having Albert's somber playfulness and tender musicality. But now we do have them here, and everybody can hear these attributes of this esteemed writer, one of New Zealand and the Pacific's major poets, reading one of his most awe-inspiring poems, The Mountains of Ta'u.
The Mountains of Ta'u. Mountains wouldn't be mountains without the valleys, ravines, and sea level they rise up from. They are the rising high of sight propped up by stone, earth, and sky. They can't be any other thing, and they know it. They are the eyes of the earth gazing out, gazing inwards, contemplating the future on the horizon line and in the depths of the whirling retina. These mountains, the mountains of Ta'u, are locked arm to arm, blood to blood, and live in one another's thoughts. They hum like spinning tops, or Maui's endlessly inventing mine. On fine mornings when the mist lifts and the horizons open to the promise of what may be, they creak and crack like old aoa trees as they dry in the sun. And the river dives and digs for its roots, and fat pigeons nibble the day away on the sweet black berries of Moso'oi. And in cold rock pools, Hatua wash off the night's stale smell of sex and perfume their twisting hair with lomwele leaves. And for dear life, trees and creeper cling onto sharp slope and cliff, and the air is thick with long messages of death in the falling. They whisper together in the evenings, in talk only they can hear, as the dark turns all languages into one shape of the tongue. And the ravenous flying fox chases the ripe papaya moon, and komikaitu squeal in the waterfall. They sleep best on stormy nights when they can't hear one another's sleep chatter, and the wind massages their aching spines with tender hands. These mountains, the mountains of Ta'u, are above the violence of arrogant men. They now fit my eyes and heart exactly, like a calm river is snug in the hand of its bed. I am of their rising. I am of their dreaming, and they of mine. These mountains, the mountains of Ta'u.
Wow, Karen, that is so nice. And you're right about, you know, Albert reading
about
his own.
Albert's voice,
yes.
Yeah.
So relaxing and
really carries you away, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I think it's transporting is the word for me, but in a
That's
way,
right.
Transporting is relaxing.
That's what I was looking for, because I was about to say, I am loving the show. I am loving the feeling of being at home in the Pacific. And so to finish the show today, I believe we have our third poet of Samoan ancestry coming up.
Yes, the radiant Selina Tusitala Marsh, our current poet laureate. Selina, I have to say, has always been synonymous with radiance for me, as well, of course, as the fact that she is gifted, has talent and humor and perception and cultural richness and huge amounts of aroha, and also inspires huge amounts of aroha in everyone who hears her poems and who loves her. And we have her tonight performing, because Selene is nothing if not a poet performer, Airport Road to Apia, from Fast Talking PI.
Airport Road to Apia. Muli Fanua. Tarmac sleeping, low clouds keening, planes disemboweling, skinny men luggaging, rapping woman shushing, ballpoint ticketing, wooden bit a bulging, I feel my muraling the far side wall. Satapuala, long grass saluting, litter golf coursing, lava lovers breezing, pulitasi waiting, feet bus stopping, a young girl slurping a rainbow slushy. Vailutai maunga, black pig snorting, rubbish over roasting, fat man scratching, white washing waving, tomb tooth sunning, church ever cussing, holy chickens tithing in the pockmarked yard. Tanawar, lean bikes locking, old talabao singing, iron gates divining, fessing rocks spilling, lolly Hondas filling, Fales turtle backing, children lagooning, houses pink dooring, tin parasoling, sasalapa smashing at the feet of God. Sale imoa, machete sun shining, cut grass wailing, akui cans trashing, pitch logs laughing, wide woman bending, dog stone biting, goal posts yearning, turret steeples piercing, the palms of God. Tuanai, shop fronts dusting, leaves quiring, a walla potholing, paths pili climbing, knot nets trapping, fish water winging, painted stones singing, boy sunglassing, fences skeletoning, coconuts shying on the roadside stall. Vaitele, say coke bottling, signs barbecuing, John Wesley schooling, brooms beans sprouting, greens kili kitting, car skins peeling, girls pig tailing, Sailingi isn't speaking to anyone. Tanunga manono, bust hail marrying, craters poly shipping, fried food tallering, graves last carding, banana fingers bunching, buses people rusting, water holes swallowing, long lean limbs. Besinga, Mormons waterfalling, red blue USing, ships flat lining, coral foam fringing, bumps centipeding, dog teeth scraping, white taxis plunging, trucks ant piling, saints bill boarding. Don't speed, heaven is full.
By Auckland Libraries. Find us online at aucklandlibraries.govt.nz and catch the program next Sunday at 9:35 p.m. on 104.6 FM or anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/books and beyond. Every day, every day.